What if you could die and be reborn into the same life over and over again? On a snowy February night in 1910, Ursula Todd enters the world at Fox Corner, her family's English country home. In her first life, she dies immediately, umbilical cord wrapped around her neck, the doctor delayed by snowdrifts. Darkness fell. But then she's born again, and this time, Dr. Fellows arrives just in time to save her with a quick snip-snip of his surgical scissors. This pattern establishes the novel's fascinating premise. Ursula lives multiple versions of her life, each time carrying vague impressions from previous iterations, déjà vu and premonitions that subtly guide her choices. The Todd family remains her emotional anchor through these repeating lives. Kind-hearted Hugh, beautiful but distant Sylvie, cruel brother Maurice, practical sister Pamela, and eventually beloved younger brother Teddy. What makes this concept so compelling isn't just its cleverness, but how it explores life's fragility. A doctor's arrival minutes earlier or later determines whether a person exists at all. The snow that delays Dr. Fellows becomes both literal obstacle and metaphor for the random elements that shape our destinies. Aren't we all, in some sense, products of such chance occurrences? Each time darkness falls on Ursula, we're reminded of how tenuous our grip on existence truly is. As Ursula grows, she encounters numerous childhood dangers that reshape her future lives. At 4, she drowns at a Cornish beach. Her helpless little heart was beating wildly, a bird trapped in her chest, no breath. In her next life, an amateur painter rescues her. In another life, 5-year-old Ursula falls to her death retrieving a doll from the roof. Later, Bridget intervenes before she reaches the window. These experiences show how Ursula's subconscious retains impressions from previous lives, developing inexplicable fears of water and heights without knowing why. The childhood sections also reveal World War I's impact on the Todd family. Hugh serves in the War Office rather than the trenches, yet they still lose friends and neighbors. The children overhear disturbing rumors and witness families receiving death telegrams. These early deaths demonstrate how seemingly minor decisions can have fatal consequences. Life pivots on small moments, tiny causes producing enormous effects. The 1918 Spanish flu becomes pivotal in Ursula's cyclical lives. In one iteration, Bridget, the household maid, travels to London for armistice celebrations, returning with influenza that kills Bridget, young Teddy, and finally Ursula, whose lungs fill until darkness falls. This death creates a powerful imprint on Ursula's subconscious. In later lives, she experiences overwhelming dread as Armistice Day approaches. In one version, she pushes Bridget down the stairs, breaking her arm, but preventing her London journey, a seemingly cruel act that saves 3 lives. Unable to explain her actions, Ursula simply knew something terrible would happen. Her family sends her to psychiatrist Dr. Kellett, who introduces philosophical concepts that help her understand her unusual existence, identifying her drawing of a snake eating its tail as an Ouroboros, the symbol of eternal return. This episode shows Ursula evolving from instinctive response to conscious intervention, questioning whether violence is justified when preventing greater suffering. As Ursula reaches adulthood, her lives branch dramatically. One timeline sees unwanted advances leading to pregnancy and family estrangement. Another features romance with neighbor Benjamin Cole. Most significantly, one path traps her in Derek Oliphant's abusive marriage, where enormous rants over petty things escalate to violence. These divergent paths illustrate how youthful vulnerability can cascade into serious situations. The teenage Ursula lacks confidence to protect herself, yet each difficult experience builds her self-protective instincts across subsequent lives. Through multiple timelines, we see Ursula as civil servant, wife, mother, and even living in pre-war Germany, each representing different possibilities for women of her era. Despite vastly different circumstances, she maintains her core intelligence, compassion, and resilience while being profoundly shaped by her experiences. Aren't we all both formed by our experiences and somehow existing apart from them? The novel's most vivid sections occur during the London Blitz of 1940-41, which Ursula experiences across several lives. As an air raid warden, she witnesses horrific scenes amid bombed buildings, mangled bodies, dismembered limbs, and rescue workers shoveling human remains. In one life, she dies when a bomb strikes her apartment. In another, she survives. Wartime London comes alive through underground shelters, rationing, camaraderie, and maintaining ordinary life amid destruction. Londoners emerge after raids to find familiar landmarks gone, yet life continues. Ursula's timelines provide stark contrasts, experiencing the Blitz as a Londoner in one life, while in another, living in Germany as a lawyer's wife, witnessing Nazism from within. By war's end, German Ursula is trapped in Berlin with her sick daughter as Russians approach, enduring Allied bombing like rats. Her brother Teddy, an RAF bomber pilot, has varying fates, sometimes shot down, sometimes surviving as a POW. When she loses him, Ursula felt herself falling, as if from a great height, a bird dropped from the sky. The novel opens at its chronological endpoint, Ursula assassinating Hitler in a Munich cafe in 1930. Führer, she says, Führer Sie, before pulling the trigger as darkness falls. This prologue poses the central question: if you could kill Hitler before his rise to power, would you? We later learn how Ursula deliberately prepares after experiencing the Blitz and losing Teddy to war. She studies German, learns to shoot, and positions herself in 1930s Munich, where she befriends Eva Braun to access Hitler's circle. This storyline elevates the novel from personal narrative to a meditation on history itself. Could one person alter world events? The assassination attempt shows Ursula consciously using her unusual existence to change history, embracing what Dr. Kellett calls amor fati, love of fate. This raises profound questions. Does foreknowledge justify taking a life? Is redirecting history playing God? Would killing Hitler actually prevent the Holocaust, or would someone else have filled that role? The novel concludes with Teddy surviving the war and returning as a POW to reunite with his family. Ursula watches him meet Nancy in a London pub, feeling uncomplicated joy at his survival. Across the noisy room, Teddy seems to shout, "Thank you," perhaps acknowledging Ursula's many attempts to save him across lifetimes. This ending suggests Ursula has found a timeline where things go right, not perfect, but one where those she loves survived. Through many iterations and learning from countless mistakes, she reached this peaceful conclusion. In other timelines, we see Ursula's later years, retiring in 1967, never married, serving as a beloved aunt to Pamela's children, finding contentment in her London flat with mementos of Fox Corner. Life after life teaches that small choices matter enormously, that we carry forward lessons from past experiences, and that meaning comes through connection with others despite life's random cruelties. It suggests life improves with practice through reflection and better choices.